15 years ago, his wife and he had a baby. He joined our crew, and 3 days later, his wife had another baby. He's 10 days old, 12 days old. Brian has been everywhere, very, very extreme fine journalist. We're happy to have him here tonight. He'll be the moderator on the city council. We have from District 4, Gary Davis and Jimmy Johnson. And Mr. White is not available. We have Pat Hume, George Murphy, Davies, Onahue, and David Kano. That's it from that train. Our questions will go the way we're planning it tonight. We'll go to District 2 first, then to District 4, and back and forth. So they won't have the same questions on each one.
Roy?
Yes. We'll all open up with 3 minutes.
Yeah. No. I just want to tell the candidates you will be given this. And then this will tell you when you're stopping. Don't stop, I start following time.
We'll have a 3-minute introduction by all of them. Then we'll go into a section where we ask a question, 2 minutes, rebuttal by one, 3 minutes, and we continue the cycle through this until probably about quarter of nine, and we'll conclude with 2 minutes. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah, we'd like to be out a little earlier than the city council meeting last time.
Amen.
12:30.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. All right, we're going to start with District 2. Again, 3 minutes for opening statements. Mr. Kano, you are up.
Wow. Okay, thank you. This works. Am I up?
No.
Okay, can you hear me? Just want to make sure. I'm David Kano, in case anybody hasn't heard from me. I'm from the Bay Area. Lived in Elk Grove since 2003, pardon me. Got my dates back for parking. I lived in the Bay Area for 30 years, okay? And basically I was involved with the branch for the Bay Area, which I brought in about over 5,000 jobs in the Bay Area, which Pac-Bell is no longer Pac-Bell anymore. Brought in $1 million account when I used to work for the agency at that time for the assistant branch manager for an agency. And what I basically noticed that since I've actually lived here and I bought a house here, and we all noticed that the foreclosure rate is so high, okay? And it's been a passion of mine since day one. We don't talk about the foreclosure rate, but that's very important, so we'll get into that a little bit in detail. But as far as me being involved with Joanne McKinnon, I've been involved with her campaign. I've been involved with the Second Saturday issue. Everybody know about the Second Saturday issue. I was involved with that, organizing the entire monthly organization as far as making sure it was much peaceful from last month. So I've been working with Steve Cohn, Max Fernandez, who's the director of code enforcement, and I've also been working with everybody else for the city of Sacramento. So my passion here, the reason why I'm running for as a written candidate, unfortunately I did not make it as a ballot because I was one short, as everybody noticed in the paper. So, to make it short and sweet, I just want to make sure we get the Bay Area jobs over here in Elk Grove because that's most important right now.
Mr. Murphy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is George Murphy, and I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, along with the Elk Grove Citizens, and of course the Elk Grove School District, for allowing the use of their facility. Some of you out there know me, some of you may not, of course, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm now retired from PG&E. My family's lived in the Sheldon area for 23 years now. I've been involved with the Sheldon Community Association. Before that, like one of our previous candidates for CSD, I was involved and appointed to the South Sacramento Planning Advisory County Commission. Right now, I probably serve serve you on the council for several reasons. One, I'm in District 2, and I talk to the residents out there, and they talk to me, and as residents, we don't feel like we're being represented as we expected. Also, they don't feel like they're being listened to. They don't feel like their concerns are being taken care of. And with some of the decisions and of the current council member and also the direction they've taken the city with the SOI, that it would be the spirit of influence. I hold the same beliefs. Secondly, you've seen the city council meetings recently. I'm a little more than embarrassed by some of the things. I think we need to get somebody on the council that can bring some stability up there. And I'm proud to say that I've been on a commission that has been commended by folks for being professional, listening to folks, and being able to have a discussion without letting our egos get in the way. Again, thank you for being here. I look forward to talking to you later.
Mr. Armani.
Good evening. My name is David Somanewu, and I want to thank you for coming this evening to listen to our views. I've been in Edgewood now for almost 10 years, and since I came over here, I've been involved in serving this community very well. I'm such a person that when I go to any place, I don't just sit down and complain that I get involved in what is going on. I currently serve on the Human Rights Fair Housing Commission as a representative from Ed Group. I also sit on the Water Board as an associate director. But prior to that, okay, I sat on the committee that helped the Water Board to put a five-year plan together. But why am I running for this seat again? 4 years ago, I didn't run for it. I sit down and I watch and see what is going on. It is not acceptable. The job has not been done right. I'm running again because of the cry of the community. I see the need in the community, the need for a lot of jobs in Negros. We need jobs. A lot of people do not have good jobs in Negros that will sustain them. I'm running again because we need public safety in Negros. I'm running because of the need of small business. I'm a business owner. I've been in business for more than 15 years. I know what it takes to bring jobs, to create jobs, to employ people. This is where I'm running. I want to see the city of Edgewood transform with new, good jobs that will sustain the economy of our community. That's why I am running for this city again. And I would appreciate if you give me the opportunity to serve in our district. Thank you.
Mr. Hume.
Thank you. First of all, I got to say, these are about the heaviest pulled-up chairs I think I've ever sat in. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight, and I also want to thank the Elk Grove citizens for putting on this forum. My name is Patrick Hume. I have lived in Elk Grove for about 33 years, since I was 5 years old. Grew up here, and 4 years ago, I was elected to the Elk Grove City Council because the attitude coming out of City Hall at the time, I don't think it was serving the residents. It was giving Elk Grove a bad reputation. It was really not playing well with other agencies regionally. And ultimately it was, I think, too arrogant and too dismissive of positive direction. And so 4 years ago, I was elected to the Elk Grove City Council. And in that time, I think we have changed the tenor of City Hall. We've made it a little more accountable. We have replaced the administrators who were responsible for some of the direction. We have cut some of the top-heavy staffing in order to reduce some of the costs. Personnel, we didn't cut the frontline folks, we cut some of the deputy city managers and other positions that we've left unfilled. We, my year as mayor, cut the budget, the general fund budget, by over $5 million, about 10%, without cutting services. So we just squeezed the belt tighter and got by and did more with less. And then we've tried to work to erase that anti-business sentiment that we heard in those early years. And we lowered fees across the board by 30 to 50%. We have implemented an economic development incentive program, a fee deferral program, and other ways that we can try and attract businesses and let them know that we are serious and we do want to do things better and do want to work better with our regional partners. And so I'm up there because there's still work to be done. And I, too, have been embarrassed by some of the situations that has transpired at the council level. I think if you go back and watch those tapes, though, you'll see that the whole time, even when I was the subject of them, I held my head high and I tried to stay above the fray, and that's what I promise to continue doing if you give me your vote. So, thank you very much.
Okay, we'll move over to District 4. Mr. Johnson, you're up.
Thank you, everyone.
This one?
Yeah.
There. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Thank you for the citizen for having the debate. Very much appreciated. A little bit about me. I am currently a member of the Elk Grove Sustainability Element Climate Action Plan Committee, which is a mouthful. The you know, the business cards wrap around to the other end. But basically what it is, in short, is that the Attorney General is requiring Elk Grove and every city throughout the state to reduce its carbon footprint by X percent. And what our committee is charged with doing is finding a way to do that without destroying the economy here in Elk Grove any more than it has been through the recession. Before that, I was the vice chair of the Elk Grove Historic Preservation Committee. What that committee does is it's charged with preserving some of the historic sites here in the city. We're also charged with trying to revitalize Old Town Elk Grove, make it more the cultural heart that we all know it can be, and that it is an old Sac and Old Town Folsom and those sorts of areas. I was also a member of the Elk Grove Charter Commission. Charter is basically a fancy term for a city constitution. It was a two-year endeavor. We started in 2008. We finished it up earlier this year. And basically what it does is it allows Elk Grove to have its own constitution, give it a little bit more flexibility and power in what it can do. And hopefully here in the near future, you guys will have a chance to vote on it. As far as the campaign goes, we all live here. We all know that there are problems facing Elk Grove. Crime is up. Businesses are leaving. And most importantly, the people are leaving. We have an election coming up here in November, but the people have already voted. They're voting with their feet. Can't go through a neighborhood without seeing for sale signs everywhere. And that's because they're fed up. They know that Elk Grove's going in the wrong direction. They want something better. And so do I. And so do a lot of people here in Elk Grove. And on November 2nd, we have a chance to make that change by changing the leadership who will put this city back in the direction we all want to go. Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you tonight. Thanks to the Elk Grove Citizen for hosting this event. Thank you to all of you for coming out. Democracy in action is the best sort of action that there is. I love Elk Grove. This is a wonderful community. We have amazing people. We've got great schools. We've got over 100 parks. We have people that care passionately about this place, and I do too. My wife and I are raising our 3 children here. If you get a chance, pick up our brochure. We're proud to show you who we are. And, you know, I have 3 young kids. They're 9, 7, and 4.5. I was inspired to run for the city council 4 years ago because I felt that after the city incorporated, it got off to a rocky and a very adversarial start. I think a lot of you shared that frustration, obviously, because you did make a change. And you gave me the opportunity and the privilege of serving you on the city council for the past 4 years. And I'm pleased to tell you, in the past 4 years, we've taken a lot of positive steps in the right direction. We've taken a ship that was heading in the wrong direction, and we have turned it around. And turning a ship around that's going in the wrong direction is not an easy thing to do. Does that mean we've reached the destination? No. If we had, I wouldn't be running again. Because we do have a ways to go, but we are heading in the right direction now. We stopped runaway growth, and we started building a community we can be proud of. One thing that I'm really especially proud of is the Neighborhood Leader Summits that I established the year that I was mayor. What the purpose of that was to bring neighborhood leaders together and neighborhoods together to strengthen them and connect them to City Hall and connect them to one another, because Elk Grove will only be a great community if our neighborhoods are strong. I have a lot of issues I'm looking forward to talking to you about. I believe in, even though I will talk all night long about my record, I want to focus on my vision for the future. And I've laid them out very simply in this brochure. I look forward to talking to you about them tonight. Thank you.
Okay, the way that this will work is I will ask a question, and one person will have 2 minutes to answer that question, and then the other candidates in that particular district will have 1 minute to respond. You may answer the question, you may respond to what previously said. Mr. Murphy, we're going to start with you. The sphere of influence is obviously citywide, but it does play a major role in Sheldon and parts of Eastern Elk Grove. What would you do to make sure that the sphere of influence would benefit the city?
Is important that we be a part of the decision that is made. So that's what it is and what it isn't.
Kato, 1 minute.
Okay, let's get real here as far as, okay, I'm going to be real here. As far as putting new homes around that mall, that mall has not been here. It was supposed to be built a long time ago. We spent millions of dollars. And what happened is that the company basically went bankruptcy. Now you want to build homes around this mall. And how can you build homes? Let's get real here. Then you're basically building homes around a mall that you're going to be, how are they going to afford these homes? $8.75 an hour jobs. You got to build two, you got to have two minimum wage jobs so you can afford a home. Why don't you build some like IBM, Hewlett Packard, Cisco Networks? Why don't you get those jobs over here and build those? You already got these retail. You can't build retail here if these, you know, you can't build retail here. They're all leaving. Harley Davidson, Chili's, what else? TGI Fridays. And then 2011, you're going to lose 500 jobs because of the call center for AAA.
Okay, we move to District 4. Mr. Davis, we're going to start with you.
Thank you.
What do you feel?
Oh, well, I'm ready anyway.
Different question. What do you feel will be the most important issue 12 to 18 months from now, and how will you address that?
What is the most important issue?
What do you feel will be the most important issue 12 to 18 months
from now? Well, it's the same issue that's important now, and that's rebuilding our economy, and we rebuild our economy by bringing first-rate, high-quality jobs into Elk Grove. We are a community of 143,000 people. We have less than 30,000 jobs. That's an imbalance that's not sustainable, it's not healthy, and it's not acceptable moving forward. I ran for the council 4 years ago because I felt that we, at this community, was building way too many rooftops. They never saw a rezone that they didn't like, and no one had a plan, no one stuck to it. Well, we have a plan now, and that plan is to bring jobs into this community, which, by the way, we are having a lot of success at. If you look at, especially given the tough times that we're in, look at Kaiser Hospital that's under construction. We have a center that just, hospital just got approved, CHW Hospital, that is working towards approval. They can't wait to build their hospitals and grow their job space. We just, through a city program, we just helped Office Bay in Elk Grove locate here, and that wouldn't have happened if the city wouldn't have worked aggressively with them to make it happen. Office Bay is a small business incubator that helps folks that are running small businesses out of their homes take a step out into an office, and provide some synergy and resources and support so that those small businesses can become big businesses. And when those small businesses become big businesses, we're going to make sure they don't leave Elk Grove. There's a lot we can do. Boy, you're giving me a lot of time. I keep talking. I never had that problem. Another good example, I would say, of where I've been focused in terms of bringing jobs into this community, Byers Gymnastics is a great example. They had a small facility on the Bond Road. They had one in Sacramento. Okay, I'm not going to really get into it, so I'll tell you about it later. But I've played a very hands-on role in trying to bring jobs into this community. We are making progress. We've got a ways to go, and I'm looking forward to serving another 4 years so that I can be a part of that success.
Mr. Johnson, 1 minute.
I agree with Garrett that the next 12 to 18 months, it's going to be about jobs. But we're not doing the right job right now. When we're knocking doors, George and I and others who have been walking the doors, we meet the small town, the small business owner, and they told us time and again that the fees are too high here in Elk Grove and the regulations are too much in Elk Grove. I was speaking to a man who owns a chain of liquor stores and convenience stores. He lives here in Elk Grove. The only store he's closing is the one here in Elk Grove because he said the fees are too high and the regulations are too much. We are in competition with every city in the area. We're in competition with Folsom. We're in competition with Roseville. We're in competition with the other cities in the area to bring those and to attract businesses into Elk Grove. The only way you're going to do that is by having lower fees than everyone and less regulations. Right now, aside from the county, we have some of the highest fees and some of the most regulations, and we are driving businesses out of Elk Grove. We need to reverse that trend.
Okay, we'll go back. We go back to District 2. Mr. Nanu, this question, you'll start with this question. Many people who live in Elk Grove spend their money outside of the city. What would you stop this economic leakage? 2 minutes.
Thank you. That's a very good question. How do we stop the leakage? And that's what we just talked about in our opening statement. The way to stop the leakage is bring the right job in Ekuru, bring the right economic infrastructure in Ekuru, have them to work here, spend their money here, and help to revitalize the economy of the city. It's very important that we have the good job, good quality jobs in Ekuru. When you have the mall, we didn't have finished, we started the mall, it didn't go anywhere. And then what happens? People go to other malls outside and go there and spend their money. If that mall had been completed, people will not be shopping outside their growth. So that's why we have to have a strategic plan to make sure we bring good businesses so that people will spend their money here. This is how we're going to stop that bleeding. I call it bleeding right now. We're bleeding because people are going outside, taking their money to other cities, quit the short spend in a group to help to revitalize the economy of our city. That's not right. We have to change it. And that's what I plan to do if I get an opportunity to serve the community. Thank you.
Mr. Hume, 1 minute.
Thank you, Brian. That's a great question. Actually, we did a study, and there's about $70 million a year in retail leakage going on in the city of Elk Grove. So that's 1%. If you factor in the sales tax of 7.75%, and we get 1% of that sales tax, that's quite a bit of money that is not coming into the city of Elk Grove's coffers in order to provide the services that our residents deserve and demand. How do you fix that is a whole different question. First of all, the mall, let's look at what happened in that nobody knew the economic meltdown was going to happen when it did. The mall actually was delayed by about a year and a half in negotiations with the city before it was allowed to get under construction. And then the company itself developing the mall went into bankruptcy because it had started doing business that it was not used to. They bought a home building company rather than sticking to retail development. But what I've done on the council in order to try and address the issue is I suggested that we have a fire sale with our tenant improvement fees. And so that we do start absorbing the empty storefronts and the empty office buildings before we start building new ones. Let's address the inventory that we have, but we need to do it by making it more affordable, easier to do, and less regulation.
Mr. Kano, 1 minute.
Okay, the issue regarding to having more, I think in order to increase revenue in Elk Grove, there's got to be like more farmers market, you know, that increase. This is what Sacramento's doing. Your First Friday's doing great, but you need to improve on that where you can start trying to get more as far as expanding on that. Now, I'm one of the organizers for Second Saturday, and I have been for 2 years now. And I got the vendors off the street. They're in the parking lot now. You know, the revenue's doing really good there. It was peaceful last month. It was basically in great hiatus. There was no hiatus whatsoever. It was great. You need some form of entertainment here. You don't have a mall that's built. Everybody's going to the Palladium, to the Folsom, that new mall that's going to be built pretty soon, that's going to be opening. You need that mall here. You need to get it built. They're going to go elsewhere during the holidays, and it's not going to be here. So that's very important.
Mr. Murphy, 1 minute.
Okay. Economic leakage. Yes, there's a lot of dollars going north. If I'm elected and I'm successful, I will be laser focused on the phone day one, calling businesses, developers, we need to get the mall on track. If we get the mall going, it will enhance the opportunities for small businesses to be supported by shoppers. It will keep the few people that do work here in town, shopping rather than getting off of work and staying in Sacramento, eating, and waiting for the traffic to subside to come back to Elk Grove. The mall is going to be an economic engine, but there's a lot of land down there that we could use for a lot of other uses. And we have an agricultural background, and I think maybe we could look at some way to bring in the Sacramento County Fair, for starters.
Okay, over to District 4. We're going to pretty much stick along that same vein, Mr.
Mr. Johnson, we're going to start with you.
Question is, more than 140,000 residents, 30,000 jobs. What else can be done to achieve a better balance?
Well, not to beat a dead horse, but we need to bring in the businesses. You don't just create jobs. Businesses have to come, and then the jobs come with them. The only way you're going to do that is by attracting them. You've got to give them a better deal than Wilson does. You have to give them a better deal than Roseville does. You have to give them a better deal than what our competitors, our surrounding cities, are going to give them. Now, Gary was talking about the gymnasium, the gymnastics company that came in. They came to us and begged us, listen, we can't come into Elk Grove because you're charging us too much in fees. Please, please, please lower the fees. Please, please, please lower the fees. And we gave them a special deal. We lowered the fees. But most businesses aren't going to go through all that. Why go through all that hassle when you can just go up to Folsom and skip the hassle, skip the fees or lower fees and so forth? We need to be more competitive. We need to bring our fees down lower than our competitors, the local surrounding cities. We have to bring regulation down below what Folsom is doing, below what Roseville, below what our competitors are doing. We need to make it very easy, and a lot easier than we're doing right now, to bring your business or to create your business in Elk Grove. And until we do that, businesses aren't going to come, and until the businesses come, jobs aren't going to come.
Mr. Davis, 1 minute.
I heard something earlier I need to point it out, because there was a reference made to a liquor store. The type of jobs that we grow is very important. We don't need more liquor stores. Elk Grove needs professional jobs. We need jobs for working people. We need jobs for the people that live in Elk Grove today. I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been working on the council. A couple of things. First of all, we cut our fees in half a little over a year ago. We now have a fee deferral program. We have a payment program. We have an attitude toward business that I describe as the bend over backwards attitude, because we will bend over backwards to help a business grow and succeed in Elk Grove. Kaiser Hospital, Byers, Shrikes, the Entertainment Center, they're all taking advantage of our fee deferral program. If it weren't for that program, if it weren't for the fact that we cut our fees in half, they wouldn't be here. That's correct. And another thing that we're doing is we're chasing state jobs. There are 24,000 state employees in Elk Grove that live here, but no opportunities for them to work. We've adopted, and we're the only city in the state of California that has this program, is we've adopted a program. We will actually provide fiscal incentives to the state of California to locate jobs. And I'm locating their jobs here. And I'm telling you, we are about a couple months away, I hope, from announcing a big move.
If you need to extend, just ask Vice Mayor Dentry. All right, back to District 2. Mr. Hume, we're going to start with you. Elk Grove is currently slated to play a major role in the Capital Southeast Connector. What can the City Council do to minimize the impact but maximize the benefit? 2 minutes.
Great question. In addition to my role as a council member, I also serve on the Southeast Connector JPA, and so I'm very close to this project. Elk Grove has the most sensitive region in the entire connector, the 35-mile connector with the Shilling. It's unlike anywhere else. El Dorado Hills basically would be the only other example of where an impact community would be impacted by this connector to the extent that it would happen in Sheldon. However, in El Dorado Hills, the route is there, the sizing is already there. So what we do with Sheldon, I think, is where you would have to focus on minimizing the impact. Reaping the benefits, though, goes back to the discussion about the SOI and about a jobs corridor. When you take a brand new roadway from I-5 to 99, and then on up past Grantline and out, for that I-5 to 99 corridor, it doesn't make a lot of sense to invest $100-150 million in that roadway and not capture the frontage on the other side of it for office type use, office campus type use. You're spending a lot of money on infrastructure. It wouldn't make any sense to have fallow fields on the other side of it. So that's one of the benefits that we can get. The other thing that we've been working on with respect to the Sheldon area is considering that three of the four alternatives will send the roadway directly through Sheldon. And so with the options within those, we've been looking at what's called a no-build, which essentially says it reverts back to whatever's called out for the general plan, which currently is a six-lane arterial. The Deer Creek Causeway, which would go out and around the entire town on an elevated roadway through the Deer Creek floodplain,
and or what's called the limited access roadway. And we spent a lot of time with community workshops here recently trying to hammer out some of the details of that LAR. What we came down to, is, and what I think is moving forward, is something that is kind of a hybrid of the no-build LAR, looking at four-lane improved with some turnout pockets right in, right out, and trying to make what we can do last as long as it can, recognizing that even if we were to do nothing, that roadway will fail in the very near future.
Mr. Kano, 1 minute.
Okay, as far as what he was saying is very true to some extent. As far as getting the businesses over here in order for them to come up to have that open land, I mean, that is great. But the fact of the matter is, what you got to know is that you got to work with these businesses. At least what he was saying, that Jimmy Johnson was saying, that taxes are so high for these businesses to come in here because, you know, the property taxes are high. What I think the best thing to do is kind of work with these businesses. Let them pay for the roads. That if they want to have access in and out for them to have their business in this area, for that matter, or so that way, you know, get them a cut up some kind of break. Now, if you heard about the Levi Strauss situation, the Levi Strauss in San Francisco, where they were going to lay off, basically take their plants somewhere else to another city or another country, they were going to lay off thousands of jobs. And what happened is that they cut them a break on every single thing, and they saved all those jobs in San Francisco, you know, from not going overseas. So that might be a benefit to have these businesses come over here, just cut them a break in order to get good jobs here.
Mr. Murphy, 1 minute.
I believe we're still on the Southeast Connector.
Yes.
Okay. I have to agree with Pat on this one. That connector through Sheldon is very problematic. How do we accommodate our citizens? I'm glad to see them working on it. I think I've been involved in this thing as long as you have, as much as you have, Pat. Attended a lot of meetings. I go to Cinnamon's out there. The options aren't good. But there's two parallel studies going on. There'll be an EIR done on the connector portion through Sheldon, and there'll also be an EIR done on that portion that would be considered a bypass through the floodplain, and we'll see how that comes out. I got to say that with the floodplain issue, it's more than just, we're going to have to deal with federal regulations, state regulations, and environmental community. But that's my choice.
Mr. Anani, 1 minute.
Thank you. In order to have businesses thrive or have improvement infrastructure, good road is also important. But in this case, with this the connector issue, we have to look at the impact of the people. How is this going to impact the community that has been affected? Does this one going to go through their area? How will this affect them? So that's why it's important that we make sure that there's additional studies done to see if this can be rerouted or take one of the options that doesn't include the direct hit from a grapevine or through Sheldon. If that would do, I think that would be very helpful to the community. So I would really like to see additional studies done. I know they have done some workshop already, but more need to be done. Thank you.
Okay, the next question is for District 4. We're going to start with Mr. Davis. The city's 2010-2011 budget includes the establishment of an economic development incentive fund with about $600,000 to spend on grants or low-interest loans for specific projects as approved by the City Council. Question, what is a current or potential project that the City Council should at least partially fund using some of the $600,000? 2 minutes.
I feel like I already answered that question.
Because the economic development fund that you're referring to, we just, two council meetings ago, just authorized the first expenditures of those funds for the office space small business incubator. Elk Grove is setting the table to be the most competitive city in the Sacramento region for job growth. Because of the way we're setting the table, we're already starting to see the results I told you about. You know, not only, I mean, the Kaiser, the two hospitals, the office bay, the BMW has come to Elk Grove. We are a place where people want to be. We've cut our fees in half. We've streamlined our processes. We have incentive programs that other cities do not have. When the economy begins to turn, Elk Grove's jobs are going to grow more than any other city in this region. But what's important for us is to focus on the businesses we have, and especially the small businesses. Things like Office Bay are going to be phenomenal because the businesses that are taking a step out of their home, that are working at a desk in a shared area, those are the ones that have survived this downturn, and those are the businesses that when the downturn turns into an upturn are going to be ready to grow. And because we've already invested in their success today, they are going to be interested in Elk Grove being a partner in the future. And that has to be the case, because if you look at the statistics, many, many small businesses that are ready to grow, and as they start to grow, they leave the place where they came from. And we have seen that happen in the past in Elk Grove. But that's not going to happen in the future because of the aggressive nature in which we put into working with our small businesses and at the same time trying to attract the larger employment centers. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, 1 minute.
$600,000 is not going to turn around our economy. $600,000 is a drop in the bucket. I mean, there's homes here in Elk Grove that cost a hell of a lot more than $600,000. What we need to do is we need to put $85 million into creating a new economic development area. That $85 million that I'm talking about this new City Hall complex that the city is spending on. They want to spend $50 million on a library. They want to spend $35 million on a new City Hall building. Let's take that money and let's put it right in that area that they want to build this area on Bruceville and Elk Grove Boulevard, and let's create a downtown. Let's put the mall right in the middle of downtown, where that not only will people come to downtown to go to the mall, but they'll see the businesses around it and help the economy around that area instead of sticking it out in the middle of the south where there's absolutely nothing around there. Let's spend that $85 million on building new office buildings and funding new companies to come in here, pay for their moves, pay for some of the fees and traffic mitigation questions, and let's use that money to build $85 million, not $600,000.
Okay, back to District 2. Mr. Keno, we're going to start with you. If elected to the council, you will have to work with four other council members to do what's best for the city. How will your personality mesh with the other four?
Do you really want to answer that?
you got 2 minutes.
How would my personality match with theirs? Okay. One thing is, I like this question better. I like their question better. As far as my personality is concerned, as far as I'm more of a team player as far as working with anybody, as far as having new ideas for Elk Grove. We all want the best for Elk Grove. We all do because we all live here, and we don't want to see anybody go. So we have to really mesh with each other as far as making sure that Elk Grove grows and bring all these jobs. But as far as everybody getting together, as far as, you know, my personality is very outgoing. I'm very laid back. I'm always open for new ideas, and, you know, and that's pretty much my personality. So, you know, working with the people, I'm more of a people person, people-oriented person, so I'm kind of a outgoing person. That's why I like to work with anybody. Get myself to charities and so forth and all that.
Mr. Murphy, 1 minute.
Like I said earlier, I'm proud to serve with the four of the members on the Planning Commission. We have worked very well together. We are a diverse group. We come in there with certain ideas in our minds sometimes, and we work it out. We don't let our egos and our partisanship get in the way of taking care of business. And that's the same thing I would bring to the City Council. I have been very fortunate to work with both Councilman Davis and Vice Mayor Deckard on our leadership committee for the past 4 years. I know them very well, and I think that the fact we've known each other for 4 years will provide some synergy on the council. That's what I would bring to the City Council.
Mr. Nonum, 1 minute.
Dina Butsu
work with all parties is what I've been doing most of my life. I'm a team player. And if given a chance to work with the council, I will definitely make sure that it's not about me. My ego will not be first in place, will not even come here. And that's why I'm making this election not about me. It's never been about me, and it will not be about me. Period. The thing is that I have to work with everybody for the benefit of the community. When you are sent to serve, you serve the people. The interest of the people is what counts at first, not the personal ego and not yourself. So that's why it's very, very important that every council member put your ego behind the desk or behind somewhere in the house, correct? And come to serve the people. Work to serve the community of their group. That's what is important to me. The people first. Thank you.
One minute.
And I assume I should address current scenario as well as future. As I said in my opening statement, when kind of the bickering and the personal disputes have reared its ugly head, I've tried to maintain dignity and maintain composure and steer things back to the business and back to the business that we were elected to do. And that's the reality of the situation, is that all of us up on that dais, and in fact everyone sitting in front of you here today, has a desire to serve. And that's what needs to be remembered most, is that we are doing this out of a larger desire. For me, because this is my hometown, these are not political decisions for me, they're quality of life decisions, so that future generations can enjoy as great of an Elk Grove as I grew up in. And so I just, I think what it takes is that you come together every other Wednesday, you address the business that's before you, you maintain yourself in a high fashion, and you do the job, you agree to disagree when you must, and then you walk away and agree to come back in 2 weeks and do it all again. It doesn't have to be personal, and it should not, if you look at last night's meeting, I think we had great interchange, great dialogue, even though we're knee-deep in a political season, so it can't happen.
Okay, District 2, you can relax. After we pass this last question of District 4, you'll have 2 minutes each for closing statements. This last question for District 4, we'll start with Mr. Johnson. One city council candidate, who shall not be named, believes the Elk Grove Police Department should double its current number of police officers. How would you pay for this service without cutting other services?
Right. Okay, So we here in Elk Grove, we have half the state average of police officers patrolling our streets. We have 125, 126 police officers, roughly. That's 0.9 officers per 1,000 residents. The state average for all cities of all sizes is 1.6. For cities our size, it's 1.74. When you do the math, we should have about twice as many officers as we do. The question is, how do you pay for it? Well, in this economy, it's difficult. But what I propose to do in bringing these officers is we have roughly about $49 million budget, roughly. That's rough their revenue, give or take. What I'm suggesting is that other than COLAs, other than cost of living adjustments, inflation, we freeze that spending. And any revenue we get above that $49 million, as the population increases, as the economy turns, any increase in revenue goes directly for paying for those new officers, which would cost about $15 million. And until we get that $15 million number, until we get the right number of officers on the streets, we don't spend any more money on other programs because we need those officers on the street to protect our families.
Mr. Davis, 1 minute.
If you know anything about police officer associations, you know that they want to see more officers. I'm proud to say the Elk Grove Police Officers Association has endorsed me wholeheartedly. And they've endorsed me because they know that the key to growing our economy is to stopping crime and slowing crime down. I do encourage you, because there's been a lot of discussion about crime rates in Elk Grove, and you've seen data printed on mailers and things. I think it's important that you go to the City of Elk Grove website, look for yourself. You're going to see that since the Elk Grove Police Department has formed, every single year, crime has decreased. In fact, this year it's down by almost 12%. Now, how have we done that? By keeping the police force flat, which is what we have. Good news is we haven't laid officers off, because we've been able to balance our budget and keep our police force. I am proud to say also, I've been working really, really hard on a federal cops grant, which we just secured a couple of weeks ago. And through our hard work in that grant, we are increasing our police force by 5%. But the bottom line is, our police officers are doing a really good job, and they have figured out how to decrease crime by being flat in terms of number of officers.
All righty, that concludes our scheduled questions. We're going to go back to District 2. 2 minutes for closing statements. We're going to start with Mr. Hume.
I thought I had three or 6 minutes here to write down some notes quickly, but you got me, right? Listen, I want to go back to kind of some of the things I said in the opening statement. This is not just a political move for me. It's not something that I'm doing to gain higher office. It's not something that I'm doing to stroke my ego or to feel like I'm somehow important. I'm doing it because I saw a city going in the wrong direction that was offensive to me and how it was being handled. It did not represent me. And I believe that other people believe the same way I did. And so I ran for office, and thankfully the voters elected me. Since then, I've had to learn a lot more than I did on the Planning Commission. I kind of came to the Planning Commission with a tool set that allowed me to sort of hit the ground running day one. But with the City Council, the breadth and scope of things that we have to deal with on any given meeting night is incredible. So it took some time to get up to speed, and along the way I've had to make some tough decisions, some decisions that have not been popular, some decisions that get thrown back in my face from time to time, but the decisions that I believe I made for the best interest, for the long-term viability of Elk Grove. And that's something that I will never know today or tomorrow, and you'll never know today or tomorrow. Time, as it is in all things, will be the true test, and to see whether or not those were prudent decisions. But again, I've tried to make them with the most knowledge that I can, with listening to the dialogue from the other council members, and I've tried to always do things with an open deliberation, have a long and solid discussion at the council, so that if you choose to disagree with my opinions, you at least know why I have them and why I voted the way I do. And then that way, you know, I believe that is the true accountability of a government representative. And I think that I am the person best poised to grow our economy back. That's why I've been endorsed by the Sacramento Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, the Elk Grove Chamber of Commerce, the Sacramento Association of Realtors, the Rental Housing Association, and that other paper that we get here in town, Roy, that basically said Elk Grove should need stability right now. So I welcome your vote on November 2nd. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Actually, we're going to go down the line, Mr. Mountain.
Thank you very much again. I want to thank the Elkgrove citizens for giving us the opportunity tonight to share our views with you. If you give me the opportunity this November to serve you as a city council member, I will give you 150% of my time. I will make sure that I serve you correctly, I serve you honestly, I serve you with accountability. What Elkgrove needs is a leader with action. An action that produces results. That's what we do. Don't need too much changes anymore. We just need leadership with action. We need to help our businesses grow. We need to help our small businesses grow. I'm even glad that city is doing something now with $600,000. It's too late. They have started that way back 4 years ago. They were given 4 years to do that. We weren't able to do that. Again, I was going to make a comment on the money that was given to EDC, $600,000 in 4 years. There have been no job produced. If you give me the opportunity to serve you, I will make sure that when you spend your money, you have a return on your investment. That's what we need. That leadership I'm going to bring to Elk Grove. I'm going to bring that accountability. Ask questions. Where are the jobs? $600 was spent for EDC. Where are the jobs? Zero. Didn't see any. But that's why I said, this term, they want to start it. Where have they done? Where is the government? What happened with the man who gave them? I ask you to give me the opportunity to serve you, and you will not have any reason to regret. And you'll be glad that you gave me the opportunity to serve you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Murphy, 2 minutes.
Well, thank everybody for coming tonight. You know, I have to agree with Davies on the EDC comment, except you're a little off, I think, and maybe it's $700,000, but you were close. And 4 years, and what do we see for that? You see my flyers, my signs around, and my tagline is, let's get our city back on track. Well, I keep getting asked about that, and I think you now have a sense of my priorities and goals. But now the question is, where do we begin to get back on track?
It starts at the city council level. It starts with a city council that can work together, put egos, partisanship, and special interests, and not put egos, partisanship, and special interests over the interest of the people in the city of Elk Grove. You know, leaders are entrusted to make decisions for the greater good. Honor the vision of the general plan, provide for public safety, and serve with honor and dignity. I don't think that's too much to ask of anybody. My supporters know I'll listen to all sides. I'll ask questions in order to make informed, reasoned decisions. I've done that on the Planning Commission. You can go to my website, see who's endorsed me, and see what they have to say about me. I've been endorsed by Vice Mayor Deffrey, Councilman Jim Cooper, and the Elk Grove Police Officers Association, to name a few. My support has come from people like you. People wanting what's best for the city, not special interests. I will bring to the council my promise to respect the opinions of others, discuss issues openly, without letting my ego or self-interest get in the way. I appreciate your time and your attention tonight. I hope you got something out of this. I thank you, and I look forward to your support on November 2nd.
Mr. Cano, 2 minutes.
That was good, George. I know you guys have not actually, you know, I'm a very outspoken person, but nobody has actually not know me personally, because I haven't actually been on the ballot because I was once short from actually running, and now I'm an actually written in candidate. Well, just want to let you know, this is going to be a surprise, but everything that comes out of my mouth is never a surprise, right? So I'd rather be surprised. But for one thing, if I had to do this all, see, it's not about the money. You know, I have a job during the day, I have a, you know, beautiful home. It's not about the money. For one thing, I would just give that money to charity, you know, to, you know, with kids who can't afford a laptop, you know, try to get a website going and all the donations go to there. It's not about that. It's about the people. It's about people that are hurting every day, who are losing their homes, who are losing their jobs, and you hear stories from your neighbors every single day. I lost my job. Got to go on unemployment insurance. Their wife is working. He's on unemployment. He's working. She's on unemployment. You hear that every day. And I have the passion for a lot of these people, and you know it's true. And we're not doing a damn thing about it in Elk Grove. And you know something? This is going to be a surprise to you. I'm not on the ballot. I'm going to be as a written-in candidate. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I had to endorse anybody right now, and don't let it be a surprise to you, it would be Davis or George. Because I'm going to recant my candidacy, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be watching these two, or anybody else, because I'm going to be watching the next four years, I will be on the ballot. And if you can't get the job done in 4 years, I'm going to be waiting for you. I'm going to be running.
Mr. Davis, 2 minutes.
I love Elk Grove, and I am absolutely fighting for the future of this community. I'm fighting for the future for you. I'm fighting for the future selfishly for my three kids. I'm a 9-year-old, and as I said, a 7-year-old, and a 4.5-year-old. And, I mean, they're part of my inspiration, and they're part of why I'm fighting to make this a better place. I think Elk Grove is a wonderful community, but I also think we can do better. And that's why I ran 4 years ago. That's why I'm asking for a second term. My leadership style is results-oriented, it's accountability, it's neighborhood-focused. People that know me know how intricately I work with neighborhoods, valuing input from neighborhood associations, neighborhood leaders, community people, is part of the fabric of who I am as a person. And I believe that helps me stand out and make better decisions as a council member. One of the things I didn't get a chance to talk about, but I believe that if the community gives you an opportunity like I've had to have a title, you really ought to do something with it other than sit in a seat.
And I'm proud of the policies I've worked on. I'm proud of the proposals I've moved forward. But to be honest with you, what I'm most proud of is the nonprofit organizations I've been able to start because I have been blessed with this title. And one of those is the Youth Sports Foundation. We saw a need in this community to help kids play youth sport that can't afford it. So I used my title to go out into the community to work with others to put the Sports Foundation together. And we raise money now so kids can play youth sports. I'm proud of Playground Partners, the organization that we developed in order to build a big water playground and spray ground in the middle of Elk Grove and provide opportunities for the community to come together. Go to Morris Park any day of the week, and you're going to see teenagers, you're going to see young kids, seniors, all in one place recreating. Okay, I've got 15 seconds. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Elk Grove Chamber of Commerce PAC, the Elk Grove Police Officers Association, the Elk Grove Firefighters, the Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Sacramento Builders Exchange, the Central Labor Council. As a matter of fact, every organization that provides endorsements in this race has endorsed me, and I'm proud of it. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, 2 minutes.
All night we've been talking about the problems Elk Grove has. We are a city of about 150,000 people, and I think you said there was 30,000 jobs here in Elk Grove. That's appallingly low. All right. In Elk Grove, we have half the state average of police officers patrolling our streets. We rank 51st out of 55 cities our size with the number of police officers patrolling our streets. That's ridiculous. Right. In Sacramento, the state DOJ, the Department of Justice, shows that over the last 4 years, crime has skyrocketed. Last year it went down, but over the last 4 years it skyrocketed. Why? Because we have half the number of cops patrolling our streets. Right. You can't go into a neighborhood in Elk Grove without seeing for sale signs everywhere. They're leaving Elk Grove not because this is a good place, not because they're happy with where we're going. They're fed up with the direction of Elk Grove. And you don't fix problems by re-electing the same politicians that created them. We need a change. We need new leadership at the top that's going to put a new direction for Elk Grove and put us back where we want to be. Lowering the crime rate, bringing businesses back by reducing fees and regulations. That's what we can do, and together on November 2nd, by electing a new city council, that's exactly what we will do. Thank you.
All righty, well, that concludes the debate. We ended before midnight, so I get cookies from Roy. I'm happy about that. Thank you. I see a lot of you who I saw last night, so thank you for showing up. Is it something that can be addressed with one person in particular?
Yes, one person in particular, Pat Hume.
Okay, can you address it after?
You guys are custodians of our community, and your character is too...
How about we address that?
Wait, we're going to see you all night. Just wait one second.
We're not going to get into that. The thing's adjourned. I want to thank everybody here.
To do that.
When is the right time? He's not going to take responsibility.
Who is born on the first day of the month?
Excuse me.
Which month?
Excuse me.
Any month.
Miss?
March.
Would you like to elaborate?
You can find it. Look it up on the Sacramento.
What? Did you guys leave the flyers out here earlier?
We saw the flyers.
Let me get my card. I'm not the citizen. I run an independent news site. Contact me.
I just think public figures need to take responsibility.
Can I give you a name?
No, we're concerned. So
would you be willing to
we'll
talk to me?
You.
Please contact me, call me, or email me.
Thank you.
All right here.